From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. I have a couple of legislative updates. The House Democratic Steering and Policy Committee recommended to the full Democratic caucus that three-term Representative Jamie Raskin of Maryland assume the top Democratic position on the House Committee on Oversight and Reform. Representatives Jerry Connolly of Virginia and Steve Lynch of Massachusetts were also competing for the Steering and Policy Committee endorsement. The full Democratic caucus will vote on the three aspirants for the ranking position on oversight and reform next week. The Steering and Policy Panel's primary purpose is to assign fellow Democrats to House committees and to advise party leaders on legislative policy. The Steering and Policy Committee is comprised of Democratic members of the House of Representatives, including party leaders, key committee chairs, leadership appointments, elected regional representatives, and a representative from the class of the first term Democratic members of the House. Also, the House passed and the Senate will likely pass a short-term government spending bill to provide a bit of breathing room so the Senate and House Appropriations leadership may complete their work on a one-year catch-all spending bill that would fund the government through the end of the fiscal year. In the view of many House Republican members, the catch-all bill would undercut the leverage incoming House Speaker McCarthy would have to extract concessions from the Democratic Senate majority and President Biden. The current Senate Republican leadership seems to be content with passing the year-end measure, thereby clearing the budget deck for the year. The specifics of the bill have yet to be unveiled. Now, today's guest on Naps Chat. It's Naps Michiana Area Vice President Kevin Schreyer. The Michiana area includes the states of Michigan and Indiana. Kevin began his postal career in 1986 as a custodian and as a painter. A number of years later, he was promoted to maintenance supervisor. Kevin's postal tenure was capped off with his reaching the position of postmaster of his own hometown, Richland, Michigan. Welcome to Naps Chat, Kevin.
Thank you, Bob, for having me today.
Before I get into the crux of our discussion, I'm intrigued by your experience as a postal painter. I never envisioned you as a Da Vinci, Rembrandt, or Picasso, but could you tell us what you painted as a postal painter and how that colored your postal career?
Well, Bob, all the positions I have are very important with the Postal Service, but as a painter, I painted the entire Kalamazoo, Maine post office, kept the facilities, facades painted, safety rails, things like that. And other duties that I had were sign making and other things like that to keep mail flow updated on the docks and by the machinery, et cetera. So it's a very important position.
How creative were you able to get with your painting?
Well, I designed signs for stations and branches, and we were able to come up with all of the different placards that we needed to have for color coding on the mail flow and everything like that. And I designed all of that stuff and put all that together.
No murals by you, huh?
Well, not so many that you probably couldn't do with just a roller and a brush.
Okay. Your last position in the Postal Service was as postmaster of Richland, a community not far from Kalamazoo, Michigan. As Richland postmaster, did you have considerable and meaningful engagement with the residents and businesses served by the post office?
Well, that's absolutely paramount, but I'll tell you how that started. When I was 19 years old, I was volunteering on the ambulance service with the current postmaster, Perk McDonald, and I thought it was quite a important position in the town then. And later on in my career, when I was riffed from my maintenance manager's job, they asked me what I wanted, and I said I wanted to be postmaster of my hometown, Richland. It's very important. I work with township leaders on getting the housing plats put together with the proper addressing going in the right directions with the mail flows. It's trying to find a package for somebody's son that's, you know, off of school, or just, there was just an array of things. We also stopped and intercepted an attempted mail fraud for an elderly woman. It's an important job and an important figurehead of the community.
Let's shine a bright spotlight on that engagement and your ongoing role to ensure postal operations, including retail services, mail processing, and delivery are of the highest quality. Your skills and experience have been pivotal in helping Michigan communities understand the implications of the Postal Service's recent plans to consolidate and modify its sorting and delivery operations. Can you explain, as you have been advised by postal management, what is this sorting and delivery initiative? What does it entail?
Well, it's supposed to entail putting groups of delivery units into one facility. They claim that it saves money on transportation and what have you, but in this particular case, Bob, I have historical data. I cut my teeth helping to get the facility on 9th Street that was targeted for this initiative, and it was built as a hub-and-spoke operation for processing parcels and mail to be sent out of Michigan and et cetera and back to the home offices. There is absolutely no way to load 250 vehicles in there. My concerns have been with the traffic flow in and out of that facility. There's only one lane in and one lane out on the north side of that driveway, and that's expected 250-ish people and employees coming in and out of there two times in the morning and two times in the afternoon. So much to the point, it's concerned the Kalamazoo County Sheriff. I've gone to the Kalamazoo County Road Commission to explain that. They're pondering, and I believe they're going to finally come through and send Mr. DeJoy a letter about asking for a traffic study done and have them pay for it. But more importantly, taking the mail out of these communities, in my opinion, is the next step of starting to close the post offices down in rural Michigan. And I can't believe it, and probably you have seen the studies, but when you want to take the identity away of two of the largest communities as well, the city of Kalamazoo, the home of Gibson Guitar and Shakespeare Rod and Reel that used to make those here, and then Portage, Michigan, another major metro, this plan is not connecting anybody with their communities like it says in their objectives. It is actually destroying it. You're trying to make rural carriers long-haul truckers by increasing their routes by 200% of drive time every day. If they're using postal vehicles, the average temperatures in those in the summertime are astronomical, and in the winter, they're freezing. Mm-hmm. So it's been terrible, Bob, in this area.
Now, I want to ask you about the engagement that we just referenced.
Okay.
And your engagement with the Michigan communities. Who
sure.
Who are you talking to in these communities? And what has been their reaction to the information you shared?
Well, when I came back from the fall board meeting, I was really upset that the United States Postal Service still wouldn't be forthright in what they were doing with this plan. And we had set up a meeting with Congressman Fred Upton, which I was even going to do in D.C. while I was there. But he said, let's just meet in my office. So my local legislative vice president, Anthony Bradley, and I went there with our file and sat down within probably 10 minutes, Congressman Upton and Kalamazoo County Commissioner Dale Sugars, who was a staff member of the congressman, said, this is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard of, taking away a municipality's identity like Kalamazoo and things like that. And then looking at all of this, and we explained to them where their routes would have to go and how they couldn't be on the highways and everything like that. And that's when he said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to help you. I was going to ask him for help, but he had already drafted a letter to Mr. DeJoy explaining his frustration with this plan and its flaws. And he also impromptu called a press conference, which me and Anthony were invited to, and the Michigan State President, Tony Veers. I was accompanied by the local APWU President, Randy Barnes, and we were there during the press conference, and I was told by his staff office, please be prepared to answer any questions, mm-hmm. which we did. News media is only 30 seconds, minute, whatever, but it was actually an hour-long meeting with News Channel 3, News 8, MLive, newspapers, And the people that came from the townships that got the notification quickly enough came absolutely without question, cannot accept this plan. And they're already frustrated with the slowness of the mail, the changes that have interrupted the mail. They're concerned over ballots and also their tax bills going out. But since then, the sheriff had watched this, and he sent a member of his department to come and meet with Anthony and I to discuss this because he wanted to be educated on the volume of traffic onto that 5-lane road. And then I had also hooked up with the Kalamazoo County Road Commission from that meeting, and then had a subsequent meeting with the Kalamazoo Association kind of an informal group of township supervisors. The Cooper Township supervisor has already written a letter to DeJoy explaining his despair with this because he has 3 post offices that funnel mail to his community. And since then, from that group, which they gave me their entire meeting time if I needed it, which I was very humbled by, and they were going to go back and task back to write letters of DeJoy of disappointment about this plan. From that meeting, myself and State President Tony Veers met last Friday in Frankenmuth, Michigan, and they adjusted the schedule, which they normally don't do, except they have a time limit 2 weeks before the meeting. That's the last time you can enter things. But they extended that and allowed myself to have time to address 35 township supervisors that sit on their board, Michigan Township Association. That association represents and communicates with 1,200 township supervisors and managers in the state of Michigan. So as you see, this seed was planted. What has grown from it?
So you planted the seed. You're watering the agriculture. At some point, this is going to have to be harvested, I guess. And my I just want to underscore something. The press conference conducted by Fred Umpted was on his initiative, not anyone else's. He took the initiative to do that, correct?
He took it to that level.
Okay. Secondly, that you've met and you've interacted. It hasn't only been with the federal elected officials. It's county leaders. It's the law enforcement, the sheriff. It's the highway folks. So it's a multi-layered approach that you've taken is in terms of informing the community.
Exactly. It's even gone so far, Bob, that one of the church leaders, a pastor of one of the churches nearby, is getting involved and going to write a letter. Now, so it's unusual how this thing, I thought at first, how am I going to start this? And it just grew.
Now, the problem is not that you're sharing this information. It's that there's an information void.
I think. Absolutely.
Now, have you asked postal leadership within Michigan or from Washington or wherever communicated at all with this with the communities in Michigan?
No, but on September 9th, the district manager, before we came to D.C., had a Zoom meeting with us, and it might as well not even have taken place because she says, I cannot and I don't have any information to share with you. And postal headquarters told me that I'll need to know when I need to know.
Let's take you out of the equation right now. The Postal Service has not communicated with the community itself or with the elected leaders of that community.
Absolutely none.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you are unfortunately put in the position of filling that information gap because apparent failure of the Postal Service to actually, and I would argue, comply with the law and engage with the community on any type of major consolidation effort.
Exactly. And that has been number one on their concern that's angered all these government officials. And two was thinking that they may lose their entire post office eventually.
And I want to get back to not necessarily Congressman Upton, who is going to be leaving Congress at the end of this year, but over your many years in the Postal Service and your tenure as a National Association of Postal Supervisors officer, you have established many close relationships with local and federal elected leaders. Could you talk about those developed relationships and how you've educated them about the issues concerning the Postal Service?
Well, it's a little funny with Fred. When I first went there as a newly elected branch president 6 months in, I went to my first LTS in 1997. I walked in his office and there was a UPS truck sitting in the lobby on the shelf. And I sat down with him and introduced myself. And Fred said, well, Kevin, I'm pro-business and I'm pro-UPS. I said, well, thank you, Congressman, for sharing that with me, but I'm here to talk about the United States Postal Service. Well, the next year I went there with a U.S. Postal Service truck. And after that, it's been easy sailing ever since. And he's contacted me several times, as recently as the last vote a couple of years ago during COVID when they voted to fund the post office. He had his staff call on me to come tour a facility with him because he needed to decide how he was going to make that vote. He voted in the affirmative. He voted for H.R. 3076 or co-sponsored it and voted for it. And that relationship took place over 25 years. His last official act was acting on behalf of NAPS at that teleconference and things like that. So I'm very proud of that. And I'm actually proud of the fact that after I had my first meeting with the redistricted Congressman Bill Huizenga's office, on my way out, their staffer said to me, Kevin, you're our first constituent in the new district. So this is where you start. You can't focus on the Republican or Democrat part of it. We are there for an issue. I've taught myself over the years, I need to stay focused on what we're there for and not partisan issues.
Now, you've also established a pretty good relationship with the chairman of the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, Gary Peters from Michigan. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I was in town at one of their local fundraisers when he was first running in Kalamazoo, not knowing this, but I was standing next to one of his staff or now staffers. And since then, we've maintained a relationship, and through your connections too, have just cultivated that even more. And we were invited to attend the Senate hearing one time that Gary was going to speak on the Postal Service, and Dave Williams was there, and Ron Stroman, and as a matter of fact, I was right near Ron. But these types of relationships, people rely on us to give them the inside information, the truth of what's really going on, not just some filibustering that's being, you know, said to everybody. But more importantly, where the rubber meets the road. I had one township official, just if I can for a second, told me one time, Bob, at the meeting, they go, do they think you're all stupid or something? Like you don't know what's going on with the Postal Service since you worked there? And I said, I kind of think so. So
now I think it's important for people to understand also that it's not as though we are highly critical of the Postal Service,
no. But
it's that we as loyal employees of the Postal Service and managers within the postal system want to see the Postal Service thrive.
Exactly. And I do thread that in there, Bob.
I'm curious, as you communicate to whether it be Upton, a Huizenga, or Gary Peters, or Debbie Stabenow, who's also the other senator in the state of Michigan, what reaction are you getting when you bring to their attention this information that they may not know about or the Postal Service may not have shared with them?
Well, I certainly know that I don't believe Congressman Huizenga knew about it, and I sure know Fred didn't know, Fred Upton. And from what I talked to Kevin Horit this past week, he doesn't believe the senator knows anything about this either, and that's why he wants to have a joint meeting with you and Chuck, with the D.C. staff on down there, with the Michigan staff and a couple of people from Michigan on, so that they're all on the same sheet of music. Because he said, I'm not sure Gary's going to be very happy about this, because I sure don't know nothing about it. So,
as the Postal Service proceeds full speed ahead, at least we think they are, although that they have suspended temporarily certain facilities in which they had intended to initiate the consolidation, that congressional oversight by the Postal Regulatory Commission is apparently called for. I'm curious, what would you advise postal activists around the country to tell Congress if they are concerned about this initiative? What should they tell Congress? What should they tell the Postal Regulatory Commission? And possibly, what would they tell the Postal Board of Governors?
Well, to be honest with you, Bob, it started with myself and Anthony Bradley being asked by Congressman Upton what items he wanted should put in his letter to Postmaster General DeJoy. And so I gave the final approval based on our side. We sent it to D.C. D.C. gave it to Fred for his final perusing. And together, the letter from Congressman Upton is a joint effort to stop all of this initiative. But more importantly, there's many other facets to this thing. There is absolutely no way to get that mail out of that building once it's there to the carriers right now. It makes no sense. It's like I talked to the Oshtemo Township supervisor, who that building sits in their township. She knew exactly that I was not against that building being there because I helped get it built. I said, why are they leasing three expensive buildings in Grand Rapids? Well, another thing that came out of this, she believes that the township board and her are going to send a FOIA request to the USPS district office and ask them why they pulled that mail out of that facility and leasing these expensive buildings in Grand Rapids. And why don't you bring that type of operation back, which to your point was a betterment to the Postal Service, not to shut down things. Change is good sometimes, but when change isn't shared with people, there's no, I've even had in my meeting yesterday with Trevor Tenbrink from Congressman Heisman, he said, do you have any data on any of the cost savings or anything? And I go, not a dime, nothing. They just say it like it was a book report somebody did.
Mm-hmm. What I'm taking away from this is, you know, former Speaker of the House of Representatives, Tip O'Neill, used to say, all politics is local. And my takeaway here is all postal policy is local because postal policy impacts local communities. The impact could be positive or it could be negative, and we have to come to a reasonable conclusion as to what impact it will have on that local community.
And that's where I'm sharing where this is. And these are prideful people of their communities. They understand the drive that their carriers are going to have to go to from. Most of them are constituents. They know that. They live there. They pay taxes in their own town and all that stuff. And the lengthy drive they have to go to get to work, then drive the vehicle back, then do their route, then drive back with the vehicle, then drive back home. The average route will increase from about 30, 35 miles to as much as 100 or more. Mm-hmm. And they don't see, they said, don't they care about the safety of their employees?
I want to touch upon something, last question. I want to touch upon something you mentioned to me the other day. And that is a small monument or landmark that's located at along one of the rural routes that will be impacted by this consolidation. Could you share with our listeners what you told me?
Yeah, that was actually at Climax, Michigan, and I was at their township meeting last night, which they gave me community time and basically speak as much as I wanted to. And their local editor, Bruce Rolfe of the Climax Crescent, was there. He's already tried to interview the post office, and they didn't give him any answers. But that community is history, and it's prideful of its history. In 1896, the Grange, which is a farmer's organization nationwide, petitioned the government and came up with $40,000 to start a rural-free delivery network based on where the farms were in the communities and things like that. So all the farmers put in money to do this. Well, there's a monument there in their downtown area right next to the old post office. Every brick on that monument is labeled from which farm and family it came from. The front facade of the old post office is made up of those same type of field stone, and it is just absolutely gorgeous. When they heard word of this, they were devastated, and one of their nearby towns, Scotts, was duoed into Climax. So if you've already lose the carriers in Scotts, and you're going to lose the carriers out of Climax, they know what this could mean. This could rewrite the history of their community of being the first rural free delivery site in Michigan to not having any local delivery at all anymore, except from a distance from Kalamazoo County. And it's heartbreaking. The newspaper interviewed me afterwards and said that the Postal Service responded to them, but they didn't give them any answers. So that just kind of confirms what I was saying before about the kind of down in the darkness, you know, or whatever. And they're not happy about it. So they're going to be writing an article, and they're going to be writing an article to basically say, write your member of Congress, write the Postmaster General, and tell them to keep your hands off our community.
With that being the final word, I want to thank NAPS Michiana Area Vice President Kevin Traer for joining me this week on NAPS Chat. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Bob. Have a good day.
Also, I want to thank NAPS Chat listeners for logging on this week. If you enjoy NAPS Chat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store, and more importantly, share NAPS Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm gonna stand right down and write myself a letter and make believe.